All right, everybody, here we go again for another Tech Doctor podcast. This is Robert the Tech Doctor. And way out there on the internet somewhere, I think even on her very own iPhone, is Allison Hartley. How are you doing today, Allison?
You know, in spite of the many trials and travails I have had to suffer this morning and in getting to you guys, I'm very happy to be here and I'm doing well. But yes, I am the slightly lower quality iPhone edition today. But the quality of my oratorial skills is unsurpassed.
Absolutely. And we are looking forward to hearing once again you step up to the microphone with those skills. So glad you're aboard.
Ah, thank you.
Well, this morning we have with us a woman who is no stranger to the Tech Doctor podcast. She's been here many times talking about what I consider to be the Bible of learning to use the iPhone with VoiceOver, getting started with the iPhone. Her name, of course, is Anna Dresner. And Anna, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you have written one of the at least two watch type books this summer. I don't think you wrote Go Set a Watchman, if I'm not mistaken, but perhaps you wrote another book. Is that right?
Well, I did, actually. It's called Watching Without Looking, A VoiceOver User's First Month with the Apple Watch.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about it. How did it come about? Why did you decide to do it? And what's it all about?
It came about because when I was listening to podcasts of people like you guys and others talking about the watch coming out soon and that sort of thing, I started to get this feeling of how much fun it would be to write some kind of a journal about using an Apple Watch, you know, getting one on the ground floor and writing about my experiences and sharing that with people. I did that with the iPod Shuffle years ago for National Braille Press, and it was fun to write and people seemed to enjoy it. And I thought, well, there's going to be a lot of people wondering if this device is something that they're going to be interested in, so that people might be interested in that kind of journal approach again. So I went to National Braille Press and asked if they were interested, and they said no. And I was about to give up on the whole thing. And about 3 days before the watch was going to be available for pre-order, it suddenly occurred to me that I didn't have to end the project there, that it was a lot easier, that I've certainly known people who publish stuff themselves. And so why not go ahead and do it, since I wanted to do it, and get the experience of self-publishing as well as the experience of the watch. And so that's what I did. I managed to get my order in about 2 minutes after they came online. And fortunately, I was ordering the white sports watch, not the space gray sports watch. So I actually got one on April 24th, and I wrote about my experiences. I did include a section with basic how-tos and I think pretty much everything you would need to get up and running and using VoiceOver. But because the other book I do, the iPhone book, is such a tutorial and goes into everything, I really didn't want to do that with the watch. I did not feel like going through every single setting and explaining every little detail. So I wanted to be a little more impressionistic, a little more, this is what I tried, and oh, that worked, and oh, that didn't work. And also have enough information to get you started. And then I have a big resources section at the end so people could learn more.
It's kind of cool because I feel like we were all kind of in the same boat as the watch came out. We were all kind of like, oh gosh, you know, what happens if I force touch here? Or what happens if I use the digital crown there? We all were kind of just figuring out, you know, because this is such a new product line, especially for those of us who use Apple products, that it was just kind of uncharted territory for all of us. So it was really cool to be able to follow along through your experiences and realize, oh yeah, that happened to me too.
Cool. Yeah, that's what I was hoping. Because yeah, it's kind of fun. I mean, nobody had any more experience on it.
Right.
Than anybody else. So it's just kind of like, oh, let's explore this terrain and see what we can find out.
Yeah, much like Allison, I had a similar reaction when I was reading the book. But I gather it would be an appropriate book for maybe someone who is interested in kind of seeing what it's like for a person to get the watch and open it up and start working with it and maybe to make a decision whether or not they would want to watch. I mean, is that part of the goal as well?
Yeah, that was kind of my primary thought of who might be interested and who it might be helpful for is somebody who's hearing about the hype and wondering, well, how accessible is it really? And does it do anything that I actually need done? And that kind of thing. And then, but I didn't want it to just be that, which is why I did include, you know, information on how to pair the watch and how to use VoiceOver and how to use a couple of other gestures that come up all the time. So that if you already had a watch or if you got the watch after reading the book, you would benefit from my vast month's worth of experience and and at least be able to get started and learn more. So I was definitely thinking of kind of along both of those lines.
Well, some of us enjoy the process of being on that bleeding edge and opening up the box and not knowing exactly what's going to happen and then trying to get in there and figure it out. And you're probably one of those people who doesn't mind doing that. I find a lot of pleasure in doing that, even though, granted, at times it can be really frustrating when it's hard to figure out or it doesn't behave quite like you expect it to. But I guess this book would be especially good for someone maybe who doesn't really want to have to just reinvent the wheel or figure it out from scratch. You kind of help people along a little bit, it seems like.
Well, I certainly hope so. I agree. When you know, opening something up like that and starting out fresh and not knowing anything, it's kind of fun. But I certainly understand that that's not the case for a lot of people. And then there's just the real question, I'm sure, in a lot of people's minds of, is this device worth it? Would it actually do stuff that I need done? Would it be a waste of money or would I be glad I bought it?
I've heard a lot of people raise that question on various podcasts. And in fact, Ken Ray, has done some shows where he talks to people about what is the Apple Watch for you? Is it a necessity? Is it something you wouldn't want to be without now? Or is it just kind of an adjunct to the iPhone that you could easily give it up if for some reason that you lost it or it got taken away or whatever? And so people have really different responses to that. And I guess it seems like since people have such different responses, it must be a pretty personal, pretty individual decision. I mean, for me, I really like my watch and I've really enjoyed it and I wear it every day. The downside for me, and I think you touch on this a little bit in the book, is that for me personally, and I think for you too, I'm just not crazy about talking watches. And essentially, for a voiceover user, the Apple Watch is a talking watch at this point. But I want someone to come out with an app that will let me get the time or get some information silently so that I don't have to have the watch talking. I think you kind of raise that as an issue in the book.
Absolutely. I've always used Braille watches. I never could stand the talking watches, especially the ones that go bing, and then tell you the time. And it's just never something I wanted. And in fact, sometimes now I will wear two watches so I can still have, especially if I know I'm going to be someplace where I want to check the time without everybody knowing that I'm checking the time. And that's just silly, but what are you going to do? That's also partly because my husband very sweetly got me a Bradley last summer when those came out, and they're such great watches, and the little magnets and the little balls are so much fun to play with, and it's just a fun thing. And so I kind of want to wear it for that reason too. But I really do prefer a silent watch, and I hope that they come up with some way, either a third-party app or Apple, of being able to check the time silently. That would be a huge improvement.
I agree. I'm not really into Braille watches, but by the same token, I don't really like talking watches either. So I would like something that might maybe like vibrate or something, or even as haptic feedback improves, give us some sort of haptic way of knowing the time, maybe on a later iteration of the watch.
Well, someone was talking about some kind of watches that are out there where when you touch the part of the screen where the number is that you're looking for, it vibrates or something. So it's sort of, you wouldn't have to have super complex haptic feedback, and Yeah, it seems like something like that might be doable. So
interesting.
You kind of move your finger around the screen and get feedback depending on, you know, I don't know exactly how that works. I suppose it must be one kind of feedback for the hour hand and a different kind for the minute hand or something.
Yeah.
I had one of those watches called the Silent T, made by a Swiss company called Tissot, and I loved it, and it worked that way. When you touch different part of the screen, you got the different information and through vibrations, and it was really great. Also, it had a vibrating alarm, so working as a psychotherapist, I could set my silent alarm to go off at about the time the appointment was supposed to end, and then I was able to really keep track of the time. But unfortunately, my Silent T, when I had the batteries changed the last time, the process of changing the batteries broke the vibrate motor.
Oh.
And so the watch works fine now, except that it doesn't vibrate at all.
Oh.
Which makes it useless for you.
Which makes it absolutely useless for me. And I thought about, I don't think they make it anymore. I don't think Tissot is making it anymore. I thought about trying to send it back to the factory in Switzerland, but I just decided it probably wasn't worth it. So I got this little vibrating plasticky thing from JJ at Blind Bargains called a Meteor. And it's a little three-button device. It's kind of Meteor-shaped that you can carry in your pocket. It's not to wear, but it vibrates a certain amount of a long vibration for certain hours and short vibrations for other hours and for the minutes and so forth. And so you can actually easily tell the time with it. So I, too, sort of carry two timepieces, the Apple Watch and the Meteor. And it's a shame that we need two. Really,
yeah,
it is.
I'm hopeful that the Apple Watch will, before too long, meet all those needs and there won't be a need for two. But right now, it seems like we're all in agreement that we hate those disruptions that we hear too often when we're with a group of blind people of people checking the time.
And the roosters. Yep. Oh, good Lord.
The roosters. That is terrible.
Yeah,
Someone is going to, at some point, I'm sure, put that little awful, tinny, horrible rooster that is available as a sound that you can have as a ringtone on your
Apple no.
Just as a joke, if nothing else.
Right.
That will be one that I will not be downloading myself.
No,
me either. The silent alarms, at least, the watch does do that. I found I keep mine in mute pretty much all the time. And I love being able to set a timer or something and get, you know, silent notification that's gone off. Or
yeah.
Silent notification of any of my notifications. I think that's wonderful.
I think we're going to see a lot of improvement. And you talk about that a bit in the book. You seem pretty optimistic in the book that it's likely to get a lot better.
I would think so. I mean, I think just having apps being able to run on the watch instead of connecting with the phone, you know, that seems like that should reduce a lot of lag. You know, that one thing should make a difference. And I hope that, I mean, some of the stuff like, I don't know if it's happened to you where you get a message and then there's no reply button and then you try to activate the message and then trying to find a reply button is almost impossible. And I know that sighted people can just, one of the things they love is replying to their messages. And, you know, surely some of those inconsistencies I would hope would get ironed out. I mean, there were certainly big improvements between the version of the software that shipped and then that update they did. Like 3 weeks later or whatever it was, there were a lot of things were fixed. I have not tried the beta because I sort of figure why run the watch beta when a lot of the functionality is up in the hands of programmers who are not going to have the new versions of their apps on it anyway until iOS 9 comes out.
The thing that is deterring me from trying the beta is that, you know, with iOS 9, as long as you have an encrypted backup and can put your device in recovery mode, you could always go back to iOS 8 if something breaks badly enough. But if something breaks on the Apple Watch, if you've upgraded to the beta, I've been told that you actually have to send it back to Apple in order to downgrade. And that's just not, that's the showstopper for me.
Yeah, it makes sense.
As much as I would like to test for voiceover accessibility problems, I can't potentially jeopardize my watch like that. I use it for too many things.
Well, you need two watches.
Two watches would also be fun because most of the time you could give them to someone else so that you can do all those fun communication things.
Yeah. I keep trying to convince Jeremy to get one so we can send each other our heartbeat.
that would be very nice and very sweet.
Yeah.
It is exciting that you were able to get the watch, Anna, and it was fully accessible out of the box. You were able to write about it immediately, pretty much starting from the moment that you open the box. And there's something to be said for being able to take a product like that from the moment you take it out of the box and be able to use it with voiceover and write about it. I mean, that's pretty cool, honestly.
It really is. And I was really pleased with how easy it was to learn. I thought it's interesting. Some of the mainstream articles I've read where people talk about how it's this big learning curve and everything. And I really didn't find that to be that much. I mean, there's some of the goofy stuff, like we were talking about silently stopping alarms and whatnot, but for basic, you know, navigating and working in programs, it just was so much, it's so much like using an iPhone. The gestures are so similar, and yes, having it accessible immediately, having the manual, of course, accessible, because before I got the watch, I downloaded the user guide from the iBook store, and I was really impressed that on the very first page where they're talking about setting up your watch, it says if you need to set up your watch with VoiceOver, click here, and you do, and you're right there in the section that tells you how to do that. And so having the accessibility there and well thought out and well explained is really, really wonderful.
So maybe for a lot of people, you know, it would be a good combination to read both, possibly to read your book if they're voiceover users, to get the experience of what it was like for another voiceover user, but then also to go and download the iBook watch documentation and read that. Because that's what I did. I read them both. And if you put the two together, you get a lot of good information.
Absolutely. Their guide tells you what all the features are. And there were things I had to go look up when I was working through learning how to use it. Like there was one night when I had exercised and I wanted to see if it showed up on the watch. And by the time I checked, it had gone to midnight. So all my activity stuff was set at zero. And I just thought that information was lost. And then I looked at the manual again and found out that no, I could go to the activity app on my iPhone and all that information would be stored there. And sure enough, you know, so that was really nice having that to refer to. Also, his name is escaping me.
David Woodbridge.
Yeah, David Woodbridge. Thank you. If you want to listen to really comprehensive demonstrations of all sorts of features, it's just what an incredible resource that he did on Apple Viz and his own podcast. And they're well labeled so you know what's in a given podcast. So if you want to know if you're having the same problem as someone else, I mean, it's just a really great resource. So it's pretty impressive what's already out there. I took a look at the Take Control books one as well, and you know, it's got some good stuff. So
yeah, I have that Take Control book. I'm pretty much a Take Control book addict. They have so many great books on just about anything Apple-ish that you want to know about. The great thing about their books too is that they're really good as reference books. You don't have to necessarily read the whole thing, but if you really need to know some detailed piece of information about whatever, usually you can quickly jump to it in one of those books and get the information that you need. I had that with a networking issue the other day, and I've had it with iTunes, and those books are great for that.
Yeah, they really are.
So what about the self-publishing? How has that worked out since you decided to do it yourself?
It was really there's always a little bit of a learning curve and whatnot, but Shelley Brisbane was really helpful because she told me how she had set up her site, and I basically followed her example using Fetch app and hooking that to a PayPal cart and setting up a little site on WordPress to talk about the book. My husband helped me a little bit with wording and getting things set up because he blogs a lot, so he's got a lot of WordPress experience. It really was very easy to set up, and it's been fun to get sales and all of that. So you know, we're not going to be going to Miami on it or anything, but at least at least it's paid for a good portion of the Apple Watch, which is
nice,
excellent,
and worth it for the experience, if nothing else.
So is that where people need to go to get the book? Is that website? And what is that address?
It's watchingwithoutlooking, all one word, .wordpress.com. And yep, there's a link right there, which will take you to PayPal. You don't have to have a PayPal account. You can use a credit card. And it's $10 US. And then you'll get a link. You'll get an email with a link to download it. And I think I'm going to do at least maybe a little first week with watchOS 2 addendum, which everybody will get. I don't know how long I'm going to keep updating this. I'm kind of making this up as I go along. But I think I'm going to do that much at least so that it's relevant for a little while longer after watchOS 2 comes out.
Is there a way that people will know that there's been an update? I'm not quite sure how that works with an EPUB book like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly how to do it yet, but I know that the site, there's a way that Fetch app keeps track of everybody that has ordered it or everybody that I have sent a copy to. And I think that there's some way I can just email that whole list en masse.
That really makes it attractive for people to go ahead and get the book now, because even though we know Watch version 2 is coming out sometime this fall, since you're going to do that update and you've already said that, then this is something that will be viable for a while, because I'm suspecting that we are not likely to see Watch updates all that often. I'm betting it's going to pretty quickly slow down to probably not more than once or at the most twice a year. So cool. Maybe people could go ahead and if you're on the fence about the watch, or if you want to just learn more about it, I've read through your book a couple times, you know, and I found it. I picked up on little things that I had forgotten about each time I went through it.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. What I would do is go back through the tips and tricks stuff and make sure that's unified, so it's not like you're going to have to read through them and then read through what has changed in watchOS 2, because that's pretty annoying and it's not that much information. So it would be pretty easy to get it all unified and, you know, cover just, you know what I mean? So you're not having to read through how it was in OS 1 and then how it is in OS 2.
Right.
So the tips and tricks will be one coherent block.
That is one thing about the book, is that there's a lot of information there, but it's really quite concise. It's really quite short. It's a bit like the Take Control books in that sense. It doesn't take forever to read the book. I put it in Voice Dream Reader and just let James read it. And I read pretty fast, but I mean, I think it took me like a half hour to read the entire thing. So, you know, there's good information there, but it's not something that you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to get through. So that kind of makes it attractive to me in a way.
Thanks. Yeah, I did not want to write a tome, and I didn't think people wanted to read one. I was hoping it would be useful and also entertaining. I was so glad when occasionally something kind of funny happened in the process of writing it up. It's like, oh, good, that'll make a good story.
Yeah, there were a few weird things going on with the early watch, just crazy things like the activity setup information being incorrect, and it said you were entering seconds, but you were really, really entering minutes, things like that. I mean, it's some crazy stuff like that.
Uh-huh. And of course, you know, it's one of those things, if you're not writing a book, it's like, oh, that's so annoying. And if you're writing a book, it's like, oh, that's funny. Good. I can use it. Yeah. You know, I did put in where things went well and where they didn't. So hopefully that encourages you to mess around and, you know, you, any readers, you know, to kind of mess around with your technology and laugh at the silliness and learn from it and move on. And then for anybody who's interested in the watch, that'll help them get up and running or learn more about it.
I get it that you don't see it as your role, and I don't either, to really tell people whether or not they should get the watch. But at the same time, even though you found some quirks and all, I also gathered from the book that you're fairly excited about the watch. You're pretty happy with it.
I am. The silent notifications is one of my absolute favorite features. It was really nice. A couple months ago, you know, we were at a restaurant and my husband was going to be flying in that night. He'd been at a conference and knowing that if he messaged me or if there was a notification from a flight or something, that I would get it, even if it was loud in there. Now, I would still have to sort of interrupt things to listen to it, but I'd have to do that on the iPhone too.
Right.
And I would be more concerned about missing it in that situation. If I'm in a, you know, a quiet situation, knowing that I'm going to get a notification, and I might decide to just not even look at it at the moment, but just the subtlety of having that, knowing it's there without, you know, I mean, I love some of the crazy sounds that iPhone apps have when they notify you, and some of that's really fun, but it's also, it can be kind of distracting. So I like not having that. And I love being able to have the iPhone plugged into a speaker system in the car or whatever, and have it, you know, turned up fairly loud so we can hear the music, but being able to control it from the watch so that voiceover isn't coming through the speakers. I mean, those are things that I use a lot. And I think the communications features, if you and a partner had them and you were both at a, I mean, I've heard people suggest this, you know, if you were at a party, having a signal that you had agreed on that says, can we consider going home now? If they happen to be across the room from you, I mean, it's hard to find people in that kind of situation. So I think there's some real accessibility advantages to that too. So
absolutely. Three short taps means we're leaving now.
Yeah. I mean, that would be very, very, very helpful. You know, or one that says, I haven't seen you in a while, or where did you go? Could you please, you know, come rescue me from this dreadful conversation?
I need a drink.
Yeah.
That would be really helpful.
Two taps for a drink, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is, I've gotten a lot of people at work and other places asking me about the watch. People are really quite curious about it. And it's just funny, some of the things that have happened. I was in North Carolina visiting my parents, and I use this app called Dark Sky on my phone, and it also sends notifications to the watch, which will let you know if it's going to start drizzling or start raining within about 10 minutes of in your location. And so we were at the lake, and this notification came on my watch that said, drizzle starting in 10 minutes. And I told my parents, well, my watch just notified me that it's going to rain in about 10 minutes. And they're like, what? You know, and they were just sort of, they were freaked out by it sort of. And then in about 10 minutes, it started to rain. So they think this thing is totally magic. They can't understand how it could possibly know that it's going to rain within 10 minutes. But it really was kind of funny just to have that experience. And so the watch has kind of brought, you know, a whole new dimension for me to enjoying what I already enjoyed on my iPhone. And what about you, Allison? I mean, you know, we haven't heard from you in a while about your watch. You still liking it, not liking it? Where are you at?
I absolutely love it. I love it, especially for the fitness tracking. I don't wear it every day. I wear it on days when I'm out, generally, and I wear it on days when I know I'm going to be, you know, moving about the house, and can have access to things remotely, like the playback, audio playback feature. I actually have a good story too. There, we were in the hospital recently. Those who've been following me on Twitter and Facebook know that we've been dealing with some family health issues. And so when Jeremy was in the hospital in June, I took a call from my mother-in-law on the Apple Watch, and that got me into a discussion with some of the doctors and nurses about Apple accessibility, and I was able to educate them. And I feel like because we were able to communicate on that common level of, oh, she has an Apple Watch that she can use, and so do I, and so, you know, we're actually all not that different. Again, I think it kind of helped in some ways, maybe even smooth over the whole process and make it really, really known and emphasized to the care providers that we were all communicating here on an equal level, and that blindness wasn't a barrier again.
That's really cool.
That is a great story. I had a similar thing with my dermatologist. I went to see him the other day, and he had an Apple Watch, and he said, do you like it? And I said, yeah, I like it a lot. And he said, why? And so we started talking about what I used it for, and he was kind of down on it, like, well, it's okay, but, you know, I don't know what it didn't do that he was hoping it would, but after we got done talking about it, he said, well, that gives me some ideas. Maybe I'll try some of those things. So it is interesting to kind of get out in the world and talk to people about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's pretty funny. I've had to be in the Apple store a few times just because of other stuff that was going on with my computer and this and that. And it's funny how the geniuses and stuff always want to know, what do you think? Is it worth it? And all that. It's kind of funny.
I think Apple really did kind of push the envelope by introducing a watch, and because smartwatches have not really done that well in the mass market. And I think Apple Watch has done better than any of them so far, but they kind of stepped out on a limb, and I guess they really do want to know how it's going to work out.
Sure.
It is interesting. It's fun times all the way around. I'm really glad I got it. I've thoroughly enjoyed learning about it and working with it. And so I can't wait to see what happens next with Watch OS 2. It's going to be interesting to see how we like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I hope we have given you sufficient information about Anna's book to whet your appetite a bit, and I'm hoping that you'll consider grabbing a copy of it. If you have any interest at all in the watch, it's a good way to explore more about it. So thank you all for listening. It's been fun doing another Tech Doctor podcast. Anna, thank you for being here again.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And just remember, it's watchingwithoutlooking.wordpress.com is the site. And thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
Thank you. Everybody go to that site and grab a copy.
And Allison, if they want to email us and fuss at us about something we forgot to mention, how in the world would they go about doing that?
Well, there's almost always, I'm sure, something we forgot. So if you would like to fuss at us, you can do so by sending an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com.
Very good. And this is Robert the Tech Doctor. Until next time, I will say so long for now.
And this is Allison Hartley saying bye, everyone.